Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to our podcast, The Greek Current, for your daily roundup, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HALC staff. Congress is ready to pass this year's National Defense Authorization Act, the annual defense policy bill, including provisions that mandate the President of the United States to sanction Turkey for its acquisition of Russian S-400s within 30 days of passage of the bill. The legislation could get floor votes in the House and the Senate as soon as next week. Alan Makowski joins us to break down what this latest move by Congress means for U.S.-Turkish relations. Alan Makowski is a senior fellow for national security and international policy at the Center for American Progress and has worked on Turkey and the Middle East in several capacities, including as a senior staff member on the Committee on Foreign Affairs in the House of Representatives and at the State Department. Alan, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you back on The Greek Current.
Thanos, it's great to be back. Thank you for inviting me.
So the question of whether the United States will ever sanctioned Turkey for its violation of CATSA came closer to a definitive answer this week as the final version of the NDAA included this provision that we mentioned in the introduction that effectively requires the president to sanction Turkey for its purchase of Russian S-400 missiles. What exactly is Congress calling for in this provision?
Well, just as you said in your introduction, it is requiring the president to sanction Turkey within 30 days of enactment of this measure. Now, that could be a little more complex than it seems because, as you said, the bill will probably pass next week on the 8th or 9th or 10th of the month. President Trump has threatened to veto it for reasons unrelated to the sanctions measure, really for reasons related to the naming of Confederate bases. He objects to changing the names of U.S. military bases that are named for Confederate generals, and the bill requires them to be changed within 3 years. There's also an issue regarding social media companies that he objects to. So it's not clear whether he will veto. Some people think it's a bluff on his part. There's a lot of very important things in this bill. There's about $740 billion for the U.S. military. There's a 3% pay raise for servicemen and servicewomen. Those are things you normally would not expect the president to veto. This bill is almost never vetoed, but nevertheless, President Trump is threatening to veto it. If he does, then it will be an issue of whether Congress can override it before the new session starts, and that will be challenging. Given how little time there is till the new session, the new Congress takes office on January 3rd. If he vetoes, if it is not overridden by January 3rd, they start all over. Now, I think they would move pretty quickly, but it would take probably several weeks. Now, let's say he doesn't veto, and if the bill passes and it is enacted, if he signs it before December 20th, that would mean 30 days would be before January 20th, meaning that it would be within Trump's administration. I don't think most people expect Trump to follow through on sanctions. He's been very protective of Erdogan all along. He has had a right to use CATSA legislation to implement sanctions against Turkey ever since the S-400s were purchased in 2018. He has not done that. I believe he will probably ignore it, and that would kick it into the Biden administration. So I hope I don't have your listeners' heads spinning with all these complexities. Bottom line, as you said, it requires the president to impose sanctions within 30 days. That could be in President Trump's administration, or it could be in Biden's. Or if the bill is vetoed, it may have to be done all over again early in the next Congress. But one way or another, I think sanctions are coming.
So the Countering American Adversaries Through Sanctions Act, or CATSA that we've been referring to, provides a wide range of sanctions options for either the Trump or Biden administration, as you mentioned, to choose from. What are some of these options, and what course of action do you think is most likely?
Yeah, good question. People always talk about the sanctions, but rarely talk about what those sanctions are. So CATSA lists 12 sanctions, and it directs the president to choose at least five of them. He can go light, like sanctions just on individuals, denying them visas, not allowing them to use the U.S. banking system or buy property in the United States. For example, he could impose that on President Erdogan or on Defense Minister Akar or one of the other principals involved in purchasing the S-400. Or he could go heavy, and he could go so far as to ban exports from the United States to Turkey or ban imports from Turkey into the United States or to prevent transfers between financial institutions in Turkey and in the United States. He could prohibit U.S. investments in Turkey. There are a lot of ways he could go with this. My guess is that President Biden would emphasize lighter sanctions, but with a couple of the tough ones. And by the way, another sanction which could be crucial to Turkey and is an option for the president is to use the voice and vote of the United States government to oppose any support for Turkey coming from the international financial institutions, meaning in particular the International Monetary Fund. Turkey's economy is hurting badly. Turkey has insisted it will not go back to the International Monetary Fund, which it has not had to have an IMF program now for over a decade. But many people think, given its very precarious economic situation now, that it may have no choice but to go to the IMF. And if the U.S. is going to oppose it at the IMF, the U.S. vote counts for roughly 18%, but the influence is much more than 18%. It would make it very tough for Turkey to get any help from the IMF if the U.S. is opposed. So those are some of the options that will be available to the president.
As we mentioned, the duty to sanction could fall either with the Trump administration or with the Biden administration, depending on if it passes and if it's not vetoed and when it gets signed. Depending on this timeline, it could make Turkey one of the very first issues that the incoming administration of President-elect Biden will have to deal with. How do you see this affecting the foreign policy priorities of the incoming administration?
Well, look, I think it is not ideal from President Biden's point of view. Order number one in foreign policy for the Biden administration, I believe, will be repairing relations with NATO, which have been pretty badly bruised by President Trump. I think President Biden will want to put in some time healing some of those relations with our allies, and Turkey is one of our NATO allies. So I think if he had his druthers, he, President Biden, would not want to start off his relationship with Turkey by imposing sanctions. But nevertheless, if that's what the law calls for, I think he'll do it. President Biden, as I'm sure most of your listeners know, is himself a former chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He respects the law. Unlike President Trump, he won't leave the law unimplemented. And I think he'll have to go ahead with it. I think he will want to at least initially start with lighter sanctions in the hope that that can get the job done. As I read the law, there's nothing in it that would prevent him from increasing the sanctions later on. So he could theoretically start light, and if Turkey doesn't come around, go to more draconian sanctions.
Well, that raises my next question. Sanctions are typically imposed to push a country, and in this case, Turkey, to change its behavior. I don't think there are any indications that Turkey has given us over the last years that it's willing to give up its S-400s or mothball them, which is the main issue here. Turkey's President Erdogan has even challenged the United States to impose sanctions, and there are reports of discussions between Turkey and Russia on a second batch. Do you think that sanctions, you know, whether they're the lighter ones or at a more intense level, will have the desired effect?
Look, it's a very tough call. On the one hand, President Erdogan has insisted that he will deploy the S-400s. And when we think about why he bought the S-400s, what he intends to use them for, most people think that it was a reaction to the coup attempt of 2016 and that he specifically wanted Russian products, non-Western products, that is, which he feels will be uniquely capable of shooting down Western planes. Remember, the coup attempt was mainly centered in Turkey's Air Force. And the Air Force, of course, is based on Western aircraft, the core of which is the F-16. So I think it is not an easy decision for him to simply mothball the S-400s. But his economy is really hurting. And the lira, since 2018, it has lost over half its value. Erdogan is a tough guy, but I'm not sure that he can really withstand that kind of pressure. And he may have to come around. And I'll just remind people that sanctions did succeed in convincing Erdogan to free the American pastor, Brunson. And could these work for a much bigger issue? I don't exclude it. I think because of the economy, I think it's possible that some accommodation will be found where the S-400s would be mothballed under U.S. guard. As painful as that would be for Erdogan, I think when we look at the economy, we have to say that the sanctions just possibly could do the trick. By the way, even if there are light sanctions, it's still going to have a strong impact on the lira, and it's still going to have a strong impact on Turkey's credit worthiness, and it's going to make it very difficult for Turkey to get foreign direct investment. So all of those things, that threat hanging out there, it's going to make it hard for him to resist. It's a tough call. I would say don't bet your mortgage either way, but don't rule out that the sanctions could succeed. The Trump era of protecting Erdogan, coddling Erdogan, is over. There's likely to be many problems between Turkey and the Biden administration. They disagree on all kinds of things, from human rights to the Aegean to Cyprus to Hamas and many other issues as well. But the central issue in U.S.-Turkish relations is Turkey's relations with Russia, and particularly the issue of the S-400, which undermines NATO. If there is a solution to the S-400, everything else in U.S.-Turkish relations will probably be manageable. If there is no solution to the S-400 problem, it is going to be an extremely bumpy ride with the Biden administration, and there's no predicting whether the alliance will survive intact.
Alan, I want to wrap up with the last question. Earlier this week, we saw Secretary Pompeo pillory Turkey during the virtual NATO ministerial. Now we have a near certainty that sanctions are forthcoming from Congress. Next week, the European Union is likely to take a harder line against Turkey. And there is speculation that the incoming Biden administration will not play as nicely as the Trump administration has with Erdogan. How do you think that the combination of all these factors will affect domestic politics in Turkey?
First of all, keep in mind that no elections are scheduled until 2023. They're a long way off. So even if Erdogan's popularity, which has been steadily slipping, even if it's damaged by all of this, he's still going to stay in office for another 2+ years before he faces elections, which anyway, it's probably a long shot that he would lose those elections. But there's another cut to it as well, and that is that when the West gangs up on him, he can play that card inside Turkey, and he also can say regarding the economy, look, it's not my fault. It's the West unfairly putting pressure on us. I think that excuse is wearing thin with the Turkish public, to be honest. So I don't think it's as strong a card as it used to be, but I think he can hold his own through all the criticism and all of that. And I think the issue for him is the economy. That is the biggest problem. The rest of it he can handle domestically.
Alan, thanks for joining us again on The Greek Current. It was great having you with
us. Thank you. Thanks for your great questions. Thanks for the opportunity.
In other news, Turkey's recent moves to de-escalate with Greece in the Eastern Mediterranean are unconvincing, Greece's Foreign Minister Nikos Dendias said on Friday after talks with the Cypriot counterpart Nikos Christodoulidis. They jointly called on all other European Union member states to take action and live up to their responsibilities. These decisions are important not only as a clear signal to Turkey, but also as a proof of the European Union's credibility, Dendias said. Christodoulidis added that the EU must be conscientious, resolute, and credible in its actions, and must pursue a leading role on issues that relate to its member states' sovereign rights. Their meeting comes 1 week before a crucial EU leader summit that will focus on Turkey. Meanwhile, talks to reach a post-Brexit deal have been paused because UK and EU negotiators say significant divergences remain. Prime Minister Boris Johnson and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen will speak Saturday after talks broke down on Friday. If a deal is not agreed by December 31st, the two sides will trade on World Trade Organization rules, meaning the introduction of taxes on imports. In the meantime, German Chancellor Angela Merkel stepped in to urge both sides negotiating in London to move past their red lines to strike a deal, while the French government has said it could wield its veto if the deal fails to meet expectations. That wraps up today's Daily Roundup. Thanks for tuning in.